Everybody, welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. We are really excited today to be here to talk to another one of our Hallmark writers. We love talking to the writers. It's so much fun to hear about their process. And we're talking with writer Carly Smale today. And thank you so much, Carly, for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, we were going to have Carly in the fall come on the podcast, but I had a mouse situation at my house, and it was all kinds of chaos. So I appreciate you coming again. Sorry, we missed it the first time.
That's okay. I mean, when I got an email that you were like, we have to cancel because of some mouse infestation, I was like, this doesn't sound great.
No, it wasn't. It was very upsetting. I've only ever had one other mouse in my dwellings, and then we had two in a matter of a couple of weeks, and it was seriously stressful. And we had the Orkin guy there, and he was taking forever, and so it was a mess. But luckily, cross fingers, knock on wood, I think we solved the situation. So it's all
that's good.
Good.
I'm glad.
So did you have a nice holiday season?
Yeah, I did. It was great. I had about 2 or 3 weeks where I was just with my family. So it was nice. A nice long visit. It was good. How about you?
Good. It was very busy for me covering all these Christmas movies. It was very, very busy, but it was really fun. I had a great time, and I still feel like I'm kind of in recovery mode, but yeah. I'm working to get back up to full strength. I got, it's like my body just finally, it was like, okay, now you're resting. We're going to get sick. 'Cause like right after I got sick in January, it was an intense time, but it was really, really fun. It's a lot of good movies. So,
do you have a favorite? What was your favorite?
My favorite of Hallmark was Christmas Town. I thought that was really, really good, really from the heart. It kind of, to me, was, if you were going to make a kit for a Hallmark Christmas movie, that's it. This is what I would say it is, just the heart and the community and CCB and just all that stuff. I also loved Twinkle All the Way with with Sarah Drew.
Yeah, Sarah Drew, right? Drew. I got to meet her on the set of Christmas Pen Pals, and she was so awesome. I'm like such a big fan of hers now.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about Christmas Pen Pals, how much I love it, but I love her, and she actually, her and the director and Ryan McPartland came on our podcast for an amazing interview. Yeah, it was incredible, and I loved the movie. It was really, really good. So yeah, there was a lot of fun stuff. I also really liked Christmas Movie Christmas.
I know the people that made that. That's awesome.
That one was really funny. I thought they did a good job. And then on Hallmark, another good one was Two Turtle Doves, like emotional, more heartfelt one. That one was really good. And then I also really liked Check Into Christmas on Hallmark, which was more of like old school, kind of silly, like these feuding families that both own inns, and the children of the families end up falling in love. And it was really cute.
Yeah. So, was that with Rachel Boston?
Yeah. And Wes Brown.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
I feel like sometimes Hallmark has been taking themselves a little bit too seriously sometimes. And it was fun just to have a couple this last season that were just sort of silly, like Check Into Christmas, right. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. I loved with the town being divided in two, and one side of West Riverton, and then East Riverton, and they were like battling over who celebrated Christmas the best. That one was very funny to me. I really enjoyed it. Like even the coffee shop was literally divided in half, and there's like a line running through.
That's hilarious.
I thought that was great. And then Double Holiday, which was the best of the sort of attempts to do Hanukkah on either channel. I really enjoyed. And so it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's great.
Anyway, awesome. But what we like to do is we like to start out and ask our guests to introduce yourself and then tell us what inspired you to become a writer.
Sure. Well, I am Carly Smale, and I'm a Canadian writer. I've always been very passionate and obsessed with movies ever since I was like 3 years old. And eventually I went to film school, and I wasn't really sure what I was interested in until I took my first screenwriting course. And I was like, oh, this is it. This is what I've like been waiting for, like this sort of feeling of like, this is the thing I should be doing. So I started interning while I was in school at different literary agencies, doing coverage for them, reading scripts. And then I was an intern at a production company who made a lot of Hallmark Christmas movies and various TV movies. Uh-huh. And I started writing my own treatments on my own. And at first my boss was kind of like, this isn't your job. And then eventually he sort of realized that I had a bit of a knack for it. And one of my ideas ended up selling to Hallmark. And then that kind of the beginning of it all.
Mm-hmm. Had you always been a big fan of romantic comedies and, you know, these kind of movies?
I've always loved romantic comedies, but to tell you the truth, until I started working at the production company, I didn't even really know that like Hallmark Christmas movies were a thing. Uh-huh. In Canada, I mean, they're really, really popular now, but like when I was at this company, that was in 2012, and like it wasn't as big back then. So I was like, oh, here's like this American channel that makes Christmas movies. Cool.
Yeah. Did you have favorite romantic comedies growing up?
Basically, I just kind of worship Nora Ephron. She did, you know, Sleepless in Seattle, When Harry Met Sally.
Yeah.
I love, you know, like Catalina's Guide to the Days. I watched that one recently, and I was like, this movie holds up. It's such a good movie. What else? My favorite movie of all time is Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Uh-huh. I wouldn't necessarily say it's a rom-com, but I think it's definitely a love story. And it's a very unique love story.
That's so cool.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
I'm also a huge Nora Ephron fan, so I'm with you there. I love even her bad movies. I still somehow enjoy, I guess, we out of it because I think she's such a brilliant writer.
Nancy Meyers, like Richard Curtis. Like, those are kind of the champions of rom-coms that I aspire to be.
Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah. So you kind of just, you worked with the connection that you had with this internship that you had, and it sounds like you took advantage of the opportunities that you got, and that kind of went from there.
Yeah, I was super, super eager. I was basically mm-hmm. doing everything I possibly could to eventually get hired. I mean, I was like getting to know everyone in the office. Whenever I knew there was a birthday, I would make everyone a card, and, you know, I would try to organize things. I was just trying to be as useful as possible so that they would want to keep me. And then mm-hmm. when I did get hired, that's when I started spending like all my spare time writing. They're called treatments. I'm sure you heard of that. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of like a short synopsis of different ideas. I just started writing different ideas I had. And then eventually my boss was like, okay, these aren't terrible. We'll mm-hmm. like give you a shot. So yeah, I owe my old boss a lot because he really did give me a shot.
Was this in Toronto?
Yes.
Yeah. That's really cool. Cause that's where you grew up, right? In Toronto.
I grew up outside of Toronto, called Peterborough, Ontario.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And then, so you went to film school and then got the internship, or was that during the same time?
Yeah. So my internship was between third and fourth year.
Okay.
So then while I was completing my fourth year, I was still doing once a week at the production company. And then mm-hmm. The day after I graduated, they hired me. So I was really, really lucky.
Mm-hmm. Did you watch like a bunch of them to kind of get an idea of sort of this is the formula, this is kind of what they're doing, or did you just kind of dive in?
Yeah, I watched like every one I could
mm-hmm.
Just to sort of understand who the audience was and sort of what the themes were throughout a lot of them. And yeah, so mm-hmm. I definitely like studied them big time.
That's cool. That's really cool. First film for Hallmark was The Christmas Parade, according to IMDb.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's true. Yeah, correct.
So what was that whole experience like?
Well, my boss knew that I was very eager to write a script, and so he ended up selling the idea based on the title, and then he was like, I'm not fully sure what this movie is, but I think it should be a competition for like a float in a Christmas parade. And he was like, there seems to be a love story. He's like, can you go off and try and write this? And I was like, of course, like this is my dream come true.
Yeah.
So I spent the next, I think I only had 2 weeks to do it, which is pretty short.
Yeah.
And
for your first.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was like a lot of pressure, but I went off and did it, and then another writer, Robert Vaughn, came on, and he sort of like, you know, made tweaks and stuff because it was my first script. But yeah, so that was my first one that I got a writing credit for, so it was super exciting.
Yeah, that must have been. So you got the idea was kind of a collaborative idea with your boss kind of for it.
Yeah. If you watch the movie, it says story by Lewis Chesler, and
okay.
Cause it was his idea. And then, I just kind of, went off his idea and wrote the script.
Because we all loved Snowden for Christmas. It's one of the best in recent memory. It's so good.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. Yeah, so what was the process like for writing that film?
Well, so I ended up quitting my job in August of 2015, and I moved back in with my parents, and I sort of said to them, I want to spend the next year writing, and if I can't get an agent and sell something, you know, within the year, then I'll figure something out, but I really just want to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
So in that year, I wrote Snowden Christmas and Christmas Pen Pals. And, at the same time I was working at a restaurant and at a homeless shelter and just trying to make money while also writing. And so it's at some point in 2016, I sent these scripts to a bunch of agents just saying, like, is anyone interested in me? And yeah, one guy, he was actually my number one choice. He called me and he was like, yeah, I think that this could work. And I've been with him ever since.
Well, one thing that's so interesting about Snowden for Christmas is that, like, it could have been really cringy if you just look at the plot, but
right.
The dialogue was so good, and it, I think it's just a good example of, you can take a trope of, you know, these two people getting stuck in basically Christmas land that we've right. seen a lot of times, but because of the really great casting and the great banter between the two leads, I think that it made it so much fun.
Yeah, Andrew Walker and Joy Lenz are like so incredible together. They just have such great chemistry, and they made that movie so great. Like, I wasn't sure what to expect, and I was like, wow, this is a great little movie. And I think, and because of the director, Gary Yates, like, everyone was just so perfect. And yeah, I think it turned out really well.
Mm-hmm. Did you get to go on set at all for that one?
I did. Yeah. It was awesome. They filmed in Winnipeg, and I got to meet the cast and crew, and Gary, the director, like, really mm-hmm. took me under his wing and kind of showing me, you know, how to be a writer on set. Like, he would ask me to switch a scene on the spot, and like so it was pretty cool.
That's so cool. They
that
must have been a neat experience to see, like, the thing you had envisioned here, it's kind of come to, you're seeing it actually come to life.
Yeah, it was a wild experience. My mom was with me, and we were both just in awe of the whole experience. And not to mention, when I was in high school, I was really, really into One Tree Hill. So the fact that Joy Lenz, who was one of the main characters in One Tree Hill, was like, saying my lines, and I was like, this is unreal. I was just on cloud nine.
Yeah. But I loved his whole family in that movie. I thought that was really well done as well. it felt like a real family. Did you draw off of your family at all with that, or how did you
It's funny that you say that, because every single character in that movie is named after someone in my family. So all of the family members are the members of my family, and the main characters, Jenna and Kevin, are named after my brother Kevin and his wife Jenna. So I definitely took my family as inspiration.
That's awesome. Yeah, and there's a lot of good, nice humor, and I love the whole ending too.
Yeah, they're always nice endings to these movies.
What did you think of the music video they did?
Oh, interesting question. I loved it. I was excited.
Yeah.
I was like, obviously they enjoyed making this movie if they're making a music video for it. So
yeah,
I was excited. It was just, you know, an extra little thing to make people excited about the movie. However, a lot of people got confused because they kept texting me and saying, like, I didn't know your movie was a musical.
Right.
And I was like, no, it's just like a separate thing. But
yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was pretty cute.
Yeah. It was just like a fun little bonus that they like making the movie so much that they're like, we're going to make a music video.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I had nothing to do with that, but it was cool.
Yeah. It was really fun. And I mean, we've got to find out that, and I think that Andrew Walker found out that he could sing. We found out, and he found out at the same time, because we have dreamed of a Hallmark musical someday. That's our fantasy. Because
is there not one?
No. And it would fit so well. I mean, there's lots of ones that involve music as far as like, there'll be like a country music thing like that. But like a true musical has never been done. And I think it would make, it would do so well. And there's so many people in the Hallmark world that are talented, musically talented. You know, you've got like, you've got Bethany, you have a Nikki DeLoach, you have Alicia Witt, you have, you have, oh my gosh, my brain.
Apparently Andrew Walker.
Yeah. Andrew Walker, that's right. I think it would be amazing. And they, Laura Osnes, that's who I was trying to think of. She's now in the Hallmark family. Patty Murin is in the Hallmark family now. She's done a couple.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be so fun.
You should write it. Do you have any aspirations to write?
I mean, it's something that I think about, and I've done NaNoWriMo a bunch of times, but I've never done...
Sorry, you did what?
You've ever heard of NaNoWriMo? It's the National Novel Writing Month.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I haven't done it for a couple of years because I've been so busy with the podcast, but yeah, it's something I've thought about. I love coming up with pitches. It's like, it's one of our favorite things to do on the podcast. I come up with a pitch. People give me a couple elements, and it's really fun for to come up with pitches. But anyway, it's something I've definitely thought about. But
you should write the Hallmark musical. I think it needs to be done.
Oh, it would be so fun, and I think it would do so well, and it just makes sense for Christmas.
I think so too.
Christmas is music, and Christmas go hand in hand.
And of course, that'd be amazing.
It would get huge ratings.
Yeah, I think it's just a little bit of a daunting task. Maybe that's why it hasn't been done yet.
Yeah, well, and it'd probably
be the right script, you know.
Yeah, you could even make it a Hall of Fame, so you could have a little more budget. It would be great.
True. See, you thought this out.
Yeah. No, I have. That's true. I mean, our big dream idea is to have a Firehouse movie, because we feel like sometimes they don't spend enough time with the men, because obviously they're a female-oriented network. But what way to like be super like escapist for women, to have a Firehouse movie with dueling firehouses, and you have. We thought that it would maybe be best for it to be a Summer Nights movie, but you could have it easily be a Christmas movie, no problem.
For sure.
And what would be really fun is if you had all the wrong guys, the actors who typically play the wrong guys in one firehouse, and then you have the heroes, like your Paul Campbell and your Andrew Walker and whatever, in the other firehouse. And
you shouldn't be just saying these ideas on your podcast. Like, these are good. You gotta like keep these close to your chest.
I know. you're probably right.
Pitching right now to a writer. It's a dangerous move.
I know. Well, hey, if you you allow me to come. And I if you will get the Firehouse movie made, then or the screenwriter, if you let me come to set, then I will then I'll give you my idea. But it
sounds like you sort of have the mind of a writer. I think that you should try it sometime.
Maybe I should. I loved Snowed in Christmas. It was just so delightful. It was so cute. It was funny. The witty banter. It almost had like a little bit of an inspiration, I thought, of like a His Girl Friday kind of dynamic with these. Especially, I loved the whole scene on the plane. I thought it was really classic rom-com.
Yeah. You know what? Those two, they improvised a little bit. And so they really added to that. Like, I can't take full credit as much as I want to. They improvised a few lines here and there to just make it really funny. And like, when you say like the His Girl Friday thing, like that's totally just, that was just them. And it just like came out. Mm-hmm. So it was a nice surprise when
that's
I watched
awesome.
It. That's sort of like how quick and witty, like they said the lines. It was awesome.
Yeah. Well, so then you said you wrote Christmas Penthouse at the same time. And if you had listened to this podcast, you would know that I loved Christmas Pen Pals. It's one of my favorite Christmas movies, TV Christmas movies I've ever seen. I love it. That year, there were two movies on Lifetime that are still yet to be topped as my favorite that I've covered on the podcast. I loved Christmas Perfection, which was a really fun movie that year. And then I loved Christmas Pen Pals. And I just, first of all, I just thought the whole conceit of all of these people writing letters was so romantic and so
cool.
And I think that you should do a second Christmas Pen Pals movie, because this concept has it's unlimited potential. You could have unlimited number of people that are matched up and that are pen pals. And it was just, I just loved just the concept alone. Yeah. I loved, and then the execution was brilliant. But
oh, thank you.
Yeah. So well done.
thank you.
And how did you get this whole idea? It was so charming.
Honestly, when I sit down to write, I just think, like, what is something I'd want to watch? Like, I don't think about what I think will sell. I just think, like, what is something I would actually enjoy watching? And, like, I've always romanticized the idea about having a pen pal and, like, falling in love through letters. Like, it's so romantic. And, you know, one of my favorite movies is You've Got Mail. And so I just thought, like, what concept would be kind of cool for, like, a small town to do where everyone has a pen pal? And I don't know. I just kind of, like, thought it through. And, I ended up just kind of really enjoying what I came up with. And I was like, man, I wish this was real. I would totally sign up.
Oh, I would too. I'm not even kidding. I absolutely would. And I loved that whole idea. And I loved Sarah in the movie. She was so
great. I know. She was so good. When I was on set, I got to be there for the scene where she kind of has her, like, a bit of an emotional, not breakdown, but she gets very emotional. And she starts, you know, tearing up about her mom and everything. And I was just sitting there watching her, and I was like, holy, she is so talented. Like, I was actually, at one point the scene ended and I almost started clapping. Like, I forgot that, like, I wasn't watching, like, live theater. It was, it was pretty awesome.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I would have loved to have been there. I just loved every single mini relationship that you did. I mean, Michael Gross, so great as her dad, perfect casting.
Yeah.
And, like, so his little relationship was so good. And I loved the whole Giles, the Daniel character, and his role and his relationship. And I love the whole thing with the book. And she's like, you gave it to Daniel? You gave it to Anna? It was so good. I love that.
I have that book now.
Yeah. Oh, really? That's so cool.
Yeah, they gave it to me, which is nice.
And it was just such a great cast. And Niall Mader has never been more hunky than in that movie. I loved him. It was so good. Because I mean, I've liked him, but he's never been, like, a favorite, but I know, there was something about, because he's, like, in the world of Hallmark, at least he's kind of a little bit more of sort of, like, a rugged guy, a little bit more, and to see him writing these letters and getting, like, all emotional was so good. I loved it so much.
This warms my heart. It's so cool that people really, like, enjoy the things that I write. Like, it's so surreal. So,
no, it was just such a rich movie. You have, I mean, I loved Cardi Wong's character. It was a small character. I loved him. I loved just all the little people that were all the smaller characters that were writing letters to each other. And you did have that heart with Sarah Drew's character finally being able to sort of grieve for her mother, and the Michael Gross character being able to kind of move forward because his daughter was able to move forward, and that was so good. And the ending, oh my gosh, It was so good. I loved it. With the letter under the door. And
I definitely took inspiration from Nora for that movie.
I mean, the thing, because a lot of Hallmark movies try to take inspiration from You've Got Mail and Shop Around the Corner, obviously, but the thing is that they forget that in the case of You've Got Mail, the store actually closed. You know, because there's all these save the store, save the farm, save the whatever. But in the case of You've Got Mail, she actually has to deal with it. And she actually has to grow. There's like real stakes. And here, like, I mean, there's the whole thing with her app and stuff, but that was all sort of secondary to her, like, actually growing as a human. And which is what makes the story really, really good. And you by the fact of these two people kind of connecting. And in You've Got Mail, the thing that I think makes it work so much is that you have these two people who have defined themselves by their jobs. And but they meet outside of that definition and they realize that's who they actually are. They actually aren't their jobs, but they thought they were their jobs. And so it's, I don't know. It's so good. I absolutely love it. And I just thought that kind of same sort of dynamic existed in Christmas Pen Pals, where these two people that had defined themselves by all these other factors, but it was only until they were writing letters outside of all those things that they were their true selves. And then they fell in love.
Totally.
Good. But I'm telling you, I'll help you. We need to write.
It doesn't sound like you need help.
No, I do. But it's perfect. You could have it be an ongoing anthology series of
people. I never thought about that.
I'm so glad we had this podcast, because it is something I've been thinking about for a long time, because it's just so perfect. You have different people in this town that are matched up as pen pals every year.
Yeah.
Tell different stories.
True. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yes.
That's a good point.
All right.
I'm going to think about that.
Doing the Lord's work here. This is very exciting because I just loved that movie, and I think you did such a great job. And
thank you.
So congratulations on writing that.
Thank you. That's very nice. I'm feeling so encouraged right now. This is great.
I'm good. I'm glad, because I'm being completely genuine. I really love that movie, and I think you did a great job. And
you
should do a second one for sure.
Okay.
Then you had one this last year, No Time Like Christmas. So what was that experience like writing that one?
Well, a producer that I've worked with a few times now, Howard Bronstein, he called me up one day and he was like, I want to send you a manuscript of this book called Christmas in Vermont. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I want you to see if you think it could be a movie. So I read it and I made some notes and such. And I told him that, like, if we just changed a couple of things here and there, like, we could for sure make it into a movie. And so I wrote a pitch, a treatment, and we worked on that together, and then we pitched it to Lifetime, and it went through, which is exciting.
That's cool. Did you get to be on set for that one, or was it?
No, I didn't go to set for that one. It just happened so fast. Mm-hmm. It was like, I finished the script, and then it started shooting, like, in a few weeks, and I didn't even like have time to even really think about it. So I didn't go on set for that one, sadly.
So are you going to kind of stick in the Christmas lane, or do you have projects in mind for other times, or can you give us any hints of what's to come?
I've got a couple actually coming out for 2020. which is very exciting. One is going to be a New Year's Eve movie. And I think I'll have a couple Christmas ones as well. But yeah, I'm always working on different things that inspire me. Right now I'm working on something that's totally not Christmas at all. So yeah, I don't know. I seem to be having good luck with the Christmas genre, but I'm open to anything. I'm just like, as long as I can keep writing, I'm happy.
That's so cool. Well, I'm excited for that. You have to keep us in touch with what you're with definitely. What's coming out. So, yeah, all right. Definitely. Well, we like to end our interviews with some fun, silly questions. And since you are the queen of Christmas writing, we'll do our Christmas questions. So,
great.
First question: what is your favorite holiday drink?
Oh, I love hot apple cider at Christmas time.
Yeah, very good. Okay, what is your favorite holiday cookie or drink? I mean, cookie or treat. Sorry, cookie or treat.
Oh, I love gingerbread. So gingerbread cookies. My mom makes these really good pretzel treats where she melts Hershey Kisses on top of the pretzel. Those are a favorite of mine as well.
Yeah, those are good. I like those. Yeah. What is your favorite Christmas song or carol?
I love Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. It makes me feel sad, but like in a nostalgic good way.
Yeah. That's my favorite too. I love, I mean, I'm a huge Judy Garland fan, so that's part of it. And I love Me Meet St. Louis and the whole thing, but I also love one of my favorite versions of Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. And one of my favorite like Christmas specials is the Christmas Eve on Sesame Street.
Oh yeah.
It's actually really, really cute. It's about Oscar tells Big Bird that Santa can't fit down the chimney, so he's not going to come this year. And so he gets really worried and starts trying to figure. Yeah, it's really, really cute. And then they Ernie and Bert have this whole Gift of the Magi thing, where Bert sells his paperclip collection. I can't talk today. What's wrong with me? Paperclip collection to buy a soap dish for Ernie's rubber ducky. And Ernie sells the rubber ducky to Mr. Hooper to buy a box for Bert's paperclip collection.
Nice.
I know. And then at the end, Mr. Hooper comes and gives both of them back. And so they have their presents. And then they sing, the two of them sing, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas with Mr. Hooper. It's the best.
That's the best. That sounds great. Yeah.
I highly recommend it.
I'm going to watch it.
Yes. Good. Okay, good. All right. speaking of Christmas movies, do you have a favorite Christmas movie classic?
I have two. They're tied. I have The Grinch, the Jim Carrey version of The Grinch.
Uh-huh.
I was obsessed with it growing up, and I still am obsessed with it. And also a movie called The Family Stone.
Oh, okay. So you like Family Stone, huh? Yeah. I have mixed feelings about it. There are some really good things about it, but they are a lot, that family. It's a little stressful. Stressful for me to watch that movie a little bit.
I don't know. When I watch it, I'm like, I'm so in love with the family. I wish that I could have a family like that. Like, that's my aspirations, my future aspirations.
Yeah. I know sometimes I feel like I have a family like that. So maybe that's part of it.
Oh, so maybe that's why.
We have the drama. We sometimes do have the drama in my family. We have a lot of strong personalities in my family.
Okay.
okay. What is your favorite holiday tradition? Like decorating the tree or making cookies or, you know, the thing you do every year.
My family has a thing called, it's called Nana Sacks. And basically, when we were all kids, my Nana would take us all for the night as the parents went Christmas shopping.
Uh-huh.
And so she would fill up these Christmas sacks of presents. And we would get clues, and we'd have to go searching all throughout her farmhouse to find these different sacks filled with toys. And so when she passed away, we kept the tradition going. And now we just kind of, it's less about, you know, presents, but it's more about, like, we play games, we sing Christmas carols, and it's just a nice way to get together and remember my Nana and just enjoy the holiday season. Yeah, it's really nice.
That is so cute. You need to work that into one of your Christmas movies.
I should.
Yeah, Grandma and the Nano Sacks. That's so cute. I love that.
Yeah.
Aww. Both of my grandmas passed away last year. So
I'm sorry.
I was definitely very nostalgic for this last Christmas, just thinking about my grandmas, especially, and just, they were both ready to go. They were both, and they'd lived really long, good lives, but, you know, there's something about, and I hadn't seen either of them that much, but there's just something different about, like, knowing they, because of their poor health, I hadn't seen them that much, and there's just something different about knowing that they are gone, you know? It was,
for sure,
it was very surreal. This last Christmas.
Yeah. The holidays are strange when you don't have everyone there, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, I was pretty lucky to be able to, I mean, I'm almost 40, and the fact that I had, you know, my grandparents with me for that most, my, you know, for my whole life.
That's amazing.
That's pretty impressive. Yeah. But anyway, it was kind of a weird experience, but nice to think back on. I was telling him that I think if I do write a movie, it should be about the Christmas movie podcaster who has to fall in love with Christmas again because she watches too many Christmas movies.
That's a great idea. Yeah, it hasn't been done yet, so.
Okay, so what is a memorable, I guess you kind of talked about your grandma's gifts, but do you have a memorable Christmas gift that you either gave or received? Like, we're thinking like your Red Ryder BB gun kind of moment.
Me and my brothers had this one really special Christmas where we ran downstairs to, you know, see what Santa brought, and like we had good gifts, you know, we were like, okay, there's some books, there's some movies, this is fine, but we didn't get, you know, what we were hoping for, let's just say.
Yeah.
And at one point, we're finished unwrapping or whatever, and my parents are like, you know, what about around the corner there? And it was like my brother got a set of drums, my other brother got his first guitar, and I got this really cool little trick bike. And it was like, our minds were blown. Like, we just got, it was one of those Christmases where we were just, we got the things that we wanted, and, you know, we were definitely spoiled. But it was just the way that it was, like, we went around the corner and we were just like, lost our minds. We were so excited.
That's so cute. I love that.
Yeah. It's definitely one that I remember the most. Yeah.
That's cool. You maybe answered this earlier, but who do you prefer, Scrooge or the Grinch?
The Grinch. I love the Grinch. Okay. It's my favorite.
clear lights or colored?
I like both. I don't know. I guess clear lights now that I'm older, but there's something nostalgic about colored light.
Yeah. All right. Would you rather be in a snowball fight or build a snowman?
Build a snowman.
Okay, good. Okay.
I think, yeah.
Do you consider yourself a good gift wrapper or not?
I do not. My mom would agree with me. I'm like, I always cut it too short, and then I have to cut off an extra piece to cover like the hole.
That's funny.
yeah, I'm not okay. very good.
Okay, last question. Do you have an ugly Christmas sweater? And what is your ugly?
I have multiple, but I feel like they're not true Christmas sweaters because I got them from like H&M and they're like trendy now, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I have quite a few that I pull out during the holiday season.
What would you say is your ugliest ugly Christmas sweater, even if it is an H&M variety?
There's one that is this red knitted sweater that has a dinosaur knitted on the front, and it has a bunch of bells sewn on it. So you're, as you walk, you're just making a ton of noise.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Pretty ugly.
But hey, at least you make your presence known at a party. People.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, very cool. You passed the test. You can keep writing great movies.
Thank you. I think that you should be writing too.
Well, you've definitely gotten me thinking. So I'll have to, the whole thing just feels so overwhelming, but you're right. I probably should just start writing. That's the thing that's so nice about NaNoWriMo is it just kind of gets you going, is it gets you writing.
Sure.
And it's fun to do it all as a group, but I appreciate the encouragement. I'll have to keep you posted, but I really do love Snowed In Christmas and Christmas Pen Pals.
Thank you.
I know this was just like a gush session, but it's true. And so I was really excited to get to talk with you. And do you have social media at all that you would like to share?
Yeah, I have Twitter and Instagram. It's just my name, I think, Carly Smale.
Okay.
My last name is Smale.
Great. Yeah. Well, I'll put all that information in the description. People would check it out. And awesome. Keep us posted on your upcoming projects, and we will definitely be in touch. We'll definitely have you on again. This was really fun.
Awesome. Thank you so much. This was great.
All right. Well, we will talk to you again soon. Bye.
Okay, everybody. Thank you, Rachel.
I'd really like to thank Carly for coming on the podcast. It was so much fun to get to talk with her, and she's really gotten me excited and inspired, and we'll have to see what comes if I can find the time. I got to find the time. Anyway, it was really fun. And so let us know what you think of our discussion in the comment section or on Twitter. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And make sure that you are following us all over social media at Home Cookies Pod and Home Cookies Podcast. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews all over social media, iTunes, YouTube, everywhere. Please check all of that out. I would really appreciate it. If you're listening on iTunes, please leave us your ratings and reviews. And if you're listening on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up. Subscribe to the channel. It means so much to us. We have our patron group, which is so, so much fun. And then we also have our merch store, which has all kinds of designs. So check that out. And thanks again to Carly. It was great. And we'll talk to you all later. Bye, everyone.